Okay, Crows lost another home game again. They started poorly, didn't bring their best or their absolute best for 120 minutes. It was damn frustrating for everyone, Bone. No question about that. Everyone involved. Just to help explain the loss and that inconsistent performance, we've got club great Mark Bickley with a skip. Thanks for your time.
Stephen, Chris, how are you guys?
Now, I know it's Wednesday and you guys have moved on to the Kangaroos game, but we need to just go over a little bit of old ground. Just in summary, what went wrong on the weekend?
Oh, look, it was, as always, it wasn't just one thing. I thought we really handled the ball poorly. If you looked at the way Richmond handled it, they were really clean. They didn't fumble. They kicked it well, and we were almost the opposite. We looked like we were playing with a cake of soap and they were playing with a dry ball. Admittedly, it was slippery, but they handled the conditions much better than us. And probably, when you look at it over the balance of the night, they looked as if, in terms of winning, you know, with the 50-50 ball, they were better at that. You know, some of their guys who just were able to get in a bit harder than us and, did it better.
Does that frustrate you more, or is it, again, that inconsistency, Mark, that we've seen all year, that really good great performance, and you think, that's it, and then you get dealt with it. You just can't get it from week to week, can you?
Mm. Oh, look, I guess that's where we're at, clearly, and I guess we've been exacerbated a little bit as a footy club because we've gone win-loss. But if you look at all the other teams around us on the ladder, we've all played 20 games and there's probably five or six teams that have won 9, 10 or 11 games. So they're all in the same boat. Obviously, some have won two, then lost two, but the reality is that they haven't been able to consistently string, you know, wins together like the top four or five teams have. So we're very much in that category, and I guess all the teams are all working as best they can to try and eradicate those lapses, whether it be in-game or, you know, for the whole week, so that you can get enough wins to compete in the finals.
Very honest assessment, that's where we're at. How do you improve them? What is this just time now to develop this team and just get it better over a journey, or is there a quickish fix to it?
As you quite rightly mentioned earlier, about a minute and a half ago, there've been times when we've played to the level for four quarters, and you know, or close to four quarters. I don't think too many teams play, you know, dominate sides for four quarters of the game. But the week before against Brisbane, who you know have been in reasonable form, we were able to, you know, apart from probably the first five or so minutes in the first and second, maybe even the third quarter, we were able to be really, you know, play really good footy and move the ball well and defend pretty well. So, you know, we've done it, you know, against North Melbourne, who's a quality side early in the year, Gold Coast, Collingwood, some of those type of teams at home and away. So we feel as if we've been able to do it for periods, but it's being able to, you know, be able to do it on call, you know, when you want to do it, not go into games hoping that today's going to be the day.
Yeah.
You were one of the most mentally tough players. We got the pleasure of playing with Bix. This group, as a collective group, are they mentally tough, or is that work in progress? And you said before, well, that's just where we're at. Is that where you're at?
Look, I think it's so hard to define. What is mentally tough? You know, to me, what you want is you want players who the difference between their best and worst is very small. So if you could, you know, I guess if you could guarantee that you're going to play a game and it was ranked out of 10, that the worst game you'd play would be 6.5 out of 10 and the best game you'd play would be 8.5, you'd take that player every day of the week. And I think what we've got at times is, particularly on the weekend, we had a number of good players, but we had some players that didn't contribute enough. And in the end, if you looked at the performance, Richmond probably had, I don't know, say 14 or 15 players who they would say got that 6.5 out of 10, and we probably had, I don't know, pick a number, 12, you know. So when you've got a difference of five or six players, that's the difference between winning and losing. It's that even spread, weight of numbers. There's a whole range of things, a whole lot of names you can call it, but you've just got to get a contribution from as many players as possible, so that you don't rely on a couple of individually brilliant players to get you over the line.
Playing your role and playing as a team and doing it for long enough has been when you played your best footy. Obviously on the weekend you didn't. Can you share with us who got pass marks for that game against Richmond?
Oh, look, we don't sit down and say he's a pass, he's a fail, as some teams do, or we've actually done that in the past at different times. But I think the players go through, or we certainly as coaches go through a review, and we look at, it's more the areas, you know, a lot of things that we did poorly were, you know, things like team defence. So it's not one player, it's a combination of us as a group not being able to respond quickly enough or move quickly enough or react to what the opposition does. It's not always just individual stuff. Mm. Obviously, we sit down with individual players and we talk about their performance and the areas they did well and the areas they need to improve on. So that happens every week, but we don't, give a ticker across such every week.
How do you think your team defence is going across the ground, stopping oppo teams chaining marks all the way down the ground, stopping handball receives, outside run and spread, which is an enormous strength of the team you're playing this week in the Kangaroos, isn't it?
Yeah, well... It's probably been in the last 6 or 7 weeks the area that we've struggled with, you know, trying to limit teams inside 50. You know, early in the year we were reasonably good at it, but on the weekend Richmond I think had over 60, which is far too many, and I think they had 21 in the third quarter. So and then on the weekend it wasn't so much the marks, because of the conditions. I think they only had 50 or so marks, so it was a low marking game. It was more, like I said, their cleanness, so their ability to, one, take the ball, to, when they go to handball to someone, hit that target, that person takes it cleanly, and then they're sort of out on the outside and went away with it. We double-handled the ball, and we missed targets and all those sort of things, so that just slows you down. That allows teams that get numbers, Richmond are a team that push numbers back quickly, and they did that pretty well, and because we didn't handle it cleanly, it just made it really difficult for us.
Just mentioned the third quarter. Were you able to drill down on that and understand what went wrong at the third quarter? I mean, you couldn't get hand on ball. I think you mentioned the 21 inside 50s to, not sure how many you had in the end, half a dozen to nine. It was wasn't a great quarter, was it?
No, look, it wasn't. And you're right. It was them winning some clearances. So our first half, we were quite dominant in clearances and in contested possession, but like I said, it didn't handle it that well, and didn't, particularly our second quarter was a bit like their third. We had plenty of footy in the second quarter, but couldn't actually translate that onto the scoreboard. So in the third quarter, it was a bit the same. We couldn't get it back off them. They locked it in their half. It was one of those nights where it was difficult to finesse the ball. There was a lot of, rush kicks forward. And it was just, it was really difficult for us. So, to the players' credit, they... they're in a pretty difficult position at three-quarter time. They're able to fight back and give themselves a chance of winning, but in the end weren't good enough for long enough, and probably Richmond, they would have been very stiff if they'd have lost that game, so they were the better team and they got the points.
Do you address it as one game in isolation because of the conditions? It's pretty hard to wrap the whole season up and say, boys, this is more of the same, but it's a game, probably the one game of the year where you're going to meet conditions like that. It really is a game in isolation almost.
Yeah, but there's still things that...
What didn't you do? What was the consistent theme then?
It was just the, what I mentioned, it was our ball use and execution. Like, I think we had, in the first quarter, we kicked at 48%.
Yeah.
Where our disposal efficiency was at 48 or 50%, and Richmond's was at 78. So when you have a discrepancy like that, it means every second disposal you have is ineffective, which is just... doesn't matter about game plan, doesn't matter about anything. If you're given the ball back every second time you touch it, then, or you're ineffective with the way you get rid of it, you just don't even, you're not even giving yourself a chance. And so the first quarter was 48, the second quarter was 52. So just our inability to deal with those conditions was really puzzling in a way, because a few other times throughout the year when we've come across those conditions, we've actually played quite well. So, difficult one, and... not quite sure.
And again,
how to sit down and sort of what to make of that.
Put
really.
Your finger on that. And I think that's probably what Rowie was alluding to before, is that would suggest mental toughness. You've got a game where you've got to hit your targets. Yes, conditions are tough, but grit your teeth, hit it, because, you are tough enough to do that, mentally strong enough to do it. That's where the mental question and doubt remains, I think, certainly from where I sit, and maybe Rowie as well.
Yeah, look, that's...
Opinion.
Exactly. And I guess the... your ability to hit and execute is just a fundamental part of your game, and if you don't do that consistently, you end up not making it, to be quite honest. So, clearly we've seen some guys who have been able to, I just thought some of our really good ball handlers. You know, I thought Brad Crouch early on, you know, fumbled a little bit more than what he normally does. He's one of our cleanest players, and coming out of defence, you know, Browning, who's normally, you know, pretty reliable with his disposal, put a couple on the ground, and we missed some easy targets, which just made it difficult for us to attack. So, yeah, it was disappointing.
You're in charge of the Forge. We had a caller after the game, then another one on Monday have the same message. They blame the forwards for the weekend's loss. I blame the midfielders because I didn't think that midfield forward transition and delivery was anywhere near where it needed to be. And if you have a look at the forward line, Tex Walker, J-Pod and Eddie Betts are the cleanest and smartest footballers I think you've got in the team, and they do have good leading patterns and support each other. So where does the blame lie? 51 inside 50s, but yet you only took 4 marks.
Yeah, we haven't been a high marking team in our forward line. I think we're ranked about the middle of the pack, but I think in terms of scoring, I think we're third. We're 1 point behind Port Adelaide, and Hawthorn are first, Port Adelaide second, and we're third. So we feel as if we've scored, you know, adequately this year. You know, to put yourself in the top four when you've probably been in the bottom half of the ladder for most of the year suggests we're doing a few things right, but to be honest, we didn't have any clean ball. You know, like what you want as a forward is you want to see some predictable play where you say, oh, here we go, this bloke's going to get it, he's going to handball to this guy, I'll now push off and I'll lead into some space. Well, the ball was just getting hacked forward, so there wasn't an opportunity for those guys to read it. You know, Richmond were trying to get a couple of numbers back, so it made it difficult as well. So, look, we don't ever sit down and apportion blame and say it was the defence's fault or it was the forward's fault. So that's not the way we operate. But, yeah, so it was just, I just thought our ball movement all night was poor.
I was frustrated with JJ. I'm sure he was himself and you. We had a great chat with him 2 weeks ago about him learning the game. Just didn't play wet with the footy, didn't play in front, didn't run through the ball, keep his body in line with the ball. In the call, I was frustrated. I think once I yelled out, could you just get in front? you can't blame one bloke, Skip, but, Key, when you've got a soldier not playing his role, it does hurt, you know, when you're trying to empty out from defence and he's got a role to be there and the whatnot. I don't want to pin it all on him, but it wasn't good, was it?
No, look, it's he would be the first to admit, and clearly we would suggest that he it wasn't up to the level we expect, because I think what we've seen with Josh is he is quite capable of playing some really good footy.
Yes, he is.
A classic one that we talk about the gap between your best and your worst, and we've seen JJ's best. He is really good, and you know, there's varying stages through the year we've had performances that are well below, you know, what we expect week to week. So that's his challenge, and he's still trying to come to terms with that. But, you know, what we have seen, though, is he's been much more consistent this year than he was last year, and he's been a really strong contributor for us. He's got some qualities that we love and some areas that we're still working on. But, yeah, he's certainly a work in progress, and we'll hopefully be able to, you know, get him closer to where we want to get to on a more consistent basis.
Another week, another challenge. It's North Melbourne, it's Hobart, and there ain't another challenge after this one. This is the game.
Well, you're right, it is. We just hope things keep going the way they go. And we, you know, the pattern is...
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Being a little bit sarcastic there. But, yeah. Look, it is a... It's a team, actually, we've performed quite well against. I think we've won the last three times we've played. And yeah, clearly they've got some challenges this week with some blokes that won't be playing. But I assured you that the blokes that come in will be pretty desperate to try and play really well and cement their spot, because they're going to be playing finals, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, we're really hungry to try and get there. So it all promises to be a great game. They've got, you know, some really good on-ballers, a good ruckman, some good forwards. Their defence is really solid. So, you know, they're a pretty well-rounded unit at the moment.
Are you having trouble getting the players up again with the up, you know, the win-lose? Are you going back to the same well all the time, or they're okay, they're in a reasonable place where you can get them up, you know, after a bad loss?
Well, I think that's been a great strength. Like, one of the challenges is when you have a loss is to be able to bounce back. And I think, you know, our greatest weakness has been our inconsistency. Look at the other side of the coin, it's also our greatest strength. You really, when you have a loss, to be able to say, no, that's not good enough. We need to bounce back next week. And we've actually been able to do that.
Done it, yeah.
You know, apart from the first three games of the year where we obviously we were zipping three, from that point on, I don't think we've lost two games in a row. So, That's never been a problem. The character of our players and the resilience that they've shown has been fantastic. So, they're raring to go. They feel it as much as anyone. I understand the supporters that are out there, and they walk away from that game and the West Coast game and Essendon a little bit earlier on. And when times when we've had the opportunity to consolidate that spot in the eight, and they feel devastated, well, you can only imagine what the players feel. Because they live it, they breathe it, they bust their boiler from pretty much October, November last year to play finals, basically. So when they don't perform, they get as flat as anyone. But to their credit, they've been able to bounce back each time. We hope we get the same result this week.
Skip, will Tomo play?
Look, it's pretty favourable at this stage. So it's one of those ones we've had a little bit of trouble actually being able to really diagnose it clearly. And we feel as if we've got a bit of a handle on that now. And he's been able to train. He certainly trained the 4 week last week. They put a whole lot of work into him, and we just erred on the side of caution, I guess. And this week we'll expect that we'll have a big training session tomorrow, and he'll take part in that. And if he gets through that, it'll be a massive chance.
Oh, well done. I think you missed him in the wet last week with his contested ball and stoppage numbers. And DMAC, we're hearing, is still struggling a bit with the concussion.
Yeah, look, we haven't done a lot so far this week. So you have your a recovery session pretty much on the Sunday, then a flush on Monday, then they did a little bit on yesterday, and he certainly didn't take part in that. So has a day off today, and our main session's tomorrow. So probably, tomorrow's the day where he needs to be able to, show us that he's, feeling okay and get out there and have a kick and run around and make sure there's no ill effects. So we'll just sit tight on that. The concussion ones are really, they're the one sort of injury that's taken out of our hands in a lot of ways, because, you have to pass a lot of tests. You have to be feeling really good. And I think that's certainly a good thing. But if he's not 100%, he won't play. And that's certainly the care of the players is the main thing that we consider. So if he's right, he'll play. If he's not, he won't.
We rate our listeners here. We're interactive. Skip, 1-999-1395. Here's a text. Sam Kerridge is the Kangaroo Kid. 2 games, 10 goals, claim.
Yeah, look, he certainly was pretty solid in the State League last week. And he's probably one of those players that, if DMAC doesn't play, Sam's got a great tank. He runs really well. He's a good size player, a multitude of positions as well. So he's got great flexibility. So his name will certainly come under consideration. Yeah.
Matt Crouch is Mark Bickley without the size 40 shorts. If he's going to use a Sam Kerridge, I'm going to use a Mark Bickley. Are we going to see the two brothers play?
Look, I'm sure he will at some stage, whether it's this week, who knows. he's a left footer, so I think I kicked left foot probably twice in 200.
And regretted it.
The bloke who's leading that, he regretted it, I'm sure. And he's probably, he's fantastic. I think you sometimes forget how much of a baby he is. I think he's 18 or 19, and look, there's going to be plenty of time for him to make his mark. Certainly, if we feel he can improve our side, he'll get a massive look in. But just over the last couple of weeks, it's been blokes like Grigg and Lyons and Brody Martin who have probably, been playing or taking those roles that Matt's probably going to fill at some stage. So, I'm full credit to the blokes that have made their way in there. Blokes like Jared Lyons, they dominated for, long periods in the State League before they got their opportunity. So those guys are hopefully consolidating their spot.
As always, Skip, great chat. Thanks for your time. All the best on Saturday, a must-win game.
Can I just say as well, a big thank you to our supporters. I'm not sure if you guys are across this. You probably are, but I think we overtook Collingwood last week.
Yeah, we mentioned that.
Side in the AFL, which is staggering, really. So, and it's probably both Adelaide and Port Adelaide supporters. The support they've shown at Adelaide Oval has been outstanding. So Collingwood have Hawthorn in a home game, the last game of the year, so they're probably going to get a reasonable crowd. So I just implore everyone that's got a ticket, look forward to the St Kilda game. Hopefully it'll be a chance for us to consolidate our spot in the eight, and we'll finish the year as the number one sort of home team crowd in the competition, which would be a great accolade for our club.
Brilliant. Well done, Skip. Thanks for your time.
See you, guys.
Yeah, that was official today. The number one AFL team for average home crowd attendances, 48,354. And as Skip said, there's another game left to come. Collingwood playing Hawthorn at the MCG.
Yeah, that's
now, if they're stinky, they won't turn up. And that is magnificent. First time Collingwood's been knocked off for 10 years.
Wow.
I mean, that is enormous. You honestly, know what we did? Is enormous.
You know what we've done with Adelaide Oval? Built it too small.
Oh.
Need another grandstand.
You serious?
Well...
Serious.
There won't be a roof.
There won't be a roof. Hey, and just another stat. Crows have won their last three games over the Kangaroos. Average winning margin. Can you remember the three? Well, it's 13. These games are crackers.
Oh, absolutely.
These games are crackers. The Crows v. the Kangaroos at Tasmania. Cannot wait.